like to add on to what Steve said about Paul's absence. There must have been some misunderstanding last week between quite a few of y'all, because after the sermon, after Sunday night's lesson, a lot of people were coming up to me and asking me, well, I thought you were supposed to give your presentation tonight. And the only thing I could think of is that they were disappointed that they had to listen to Paul last Sunday night. But I just thought I'd jump on the bandwagon while I had the opportunity, and he's not here, so you can pass that along to him too. So I'm going to share a few thoughts about CASA with you, and then just so you kind of know, then Jason's going to get up and say some things. So when I get through, it's when I leave, step down, it's not like the service is over, so I didn't want y'all to get antsy. James chapter 1, verse 27 says this: pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. 12 years ago, early in the spring, or late in the spring of 12 years ago, I was given the opportunity to join a group from a church in Brownwood that had some last-minute people drop out, and they were looking for people to fill the slots in this mission trip they had. And all I knew about it was that they were going to Mexico and that it was a children's home. And so that was my initial introduction to this, the home at CASA. And that's what CASA is, Casa de la Esperanza, House of Hope. It is, the primary purpose of it is a children's home. And it's to minister to the abused and or abandoned children of the area, in the surrounding area. The kids that are there at the home are placed there by an agency called DEEF, and it's kind of like the equivalent of our CPS there in the United States. Their medical and physical needs are shortly met after they arrive. They're given physicals and you know, attended to as best they can. But the emotional scars that these kids have with them can last a long time, and it takes a long time to get over. But the thing is, now they're in an atmosphere of love, and they're shown through actions and teachings that they're important to God, that God loves them, the staff there loves them, and they want what's best for them. And groups that come throughout the year and serve there get to share in this healing, if you would. You know, it's kind of like a parallel when I, you know, we're involved with the youth. I feel energized from the enthusiasm and the fire for God that the youth have, and it helps inspire me. It almost seems that it's the same way when we're serving at this home and we're sharing. You know, Gil has talked about us sharing in the healing of these kids. And at times it seems to me that it's not fair, because I feel like I'm getting as much out of it as the kids are. But then I stop and think, and I don't think it's an accident that it's like this. I think this is the way God intended it, that when we minister to each other or minister to others, that we're both blessed. And so as groups, we share in that. And the thing is, you know, a lot of times these kids don't speak English, but a smile and a hug are the same in any language. Well, Gil's vision of CASA, even at that time, the first time I'd been there, and before that and beyond, even now, included so much more than just a children's home. And it's so amazing to kind of see that unfold as we continue to go back to CASA. He thought of it as an outreach. On my first trip there, like I said, it was 12 years ago in 2005, there was already property purchased in this small village of Anawa, where the home is located right outside of, and there were already plans to build some housing units to use as temporary housing and for shelter of maybe mothers and young children that were rescued out of abusive situations or emergency type situations. And there was a plan to build a church there sometime in the future, where they would be able to have church services in this town. And what was amazing is that this was all going on at the same time. There was extensive work going on at the home's facilities, and getting the home where he wanted it to be. When the very first trip, there wasn't a place at the home for the groups that came to work to stay at. So we actually had to stay about 20 miles away in Quatamoc. So it was pretty amazing that this was one of the ways that this was going to be an outreach. He also felt the need to teach the kids the idea of service. And you think that you might stop and think, well, these kids, you know, that have nothing and they're here at this home, you know, you're trying to teach them service. But his thought is that he teaches them that because of the fact that this place has been provided for them, and that the people come, the groups come and share their time and share their love and share their efforts, that they in turn ought to look for those that are less fortunate than they are. And so when we participate in food distributions, like we have the past few years, and also clothing distributions, he has several of the older kids from the home go with us so they can participate in this idea of giving to the less fortunate than they are. And there are, you know, it's you may not think of it as somebody being less fortunate than being in a children's home, but there are other, you know, those in this little village that are in need of things. They also, from time to time, the home opens up on a certain day, and they'll have a meal prepared, and they'll invite anyone in the village that wants to, that they can come out and participate or enjoy a free meal. And that's just another way that they do this, is an outreach. In years past, groups have spent time repainting the public school buildings. They've done things, there's a lot of things that they have done. The community knows when the CASA vans are out in the neighborhood driving around that their chances are they're going to be giving away food and clothing and things that they need, and they come out in bunches. And during this, while they give out the food, they also hand out Bible tracts. And there's been occasions where they've handed out Bibles to those that were interested in wanting a Bible. Well, because of this meeting of the need, some of the needs of the people there over a number of years, there's a great opportunity to reach out with the gospel. Which that kind of leads into the third kind of aspect I look at the home now. So it's a children's home, it's an outreach, but it's also a mission field. The community center / church that they're nearing completion there in town, it won't be long before they're able to have church services there. Right now, they still have church services at CASA, and they invite anyone from the neighborhood that wants to come out. And occasionally, they do have people that come to their church services, but soon they're going to be able to have church services there. They're also planning on having a soup kitchen in this community center. So it will be meeting the needs daily of people. And there's going to be lots of other things that I don't have time to cover all. They're talking about different medical education for the community, different things to just help meet their physical needs. But at the same time, they're going to be reaching out to them with the gospel. And it's just an exciting time because all of these, you think back of all of these years of handing out food to these people and meeting their physical needs, that they've kind of grown a relationship. And now it's kind of like they're priming the pump, if you would. And now that it's kind of like, I look at it as being the fields are wide under harvest and that there's a great opportunity there. It's an exciting time. I wanted to finish by just briefly talking about the fact that, you know, they tell you can't get to know somebody unless you spend time with them. And there's not really any better way of spending time with somebody than going with them on a mission trip for a week where you can't get away from each other. But it's a wonderful time. I've developed a closer bond with the brothers and sisters that have gone, and I relish that. I've seen my brothers and sisters stretch and grow out of their comfort zones. Some of them have just completely broke through their comfort zone. I'll give you one example, and I won't mention the name because it'll embarrass them, but he's not here this evening. But And the one thing I'd like to do real quickly is apologize that we didn't get a chance to make our presentation from our last year's trip also. But last year we had got there late on a Saturday night. So Sunday morning we gathered together, we'd eaten breakfast with the kids, and we gathered together for the Sunday morning service. And we were all gathered there in the dining hall. The service was about to start. And just out of the blues, Gil comes over and leans over this brother that came with us and goes, "You speak Spanish, right?" And he goes, "Yes." And he goes, "Good, we need an interpreter this morning." Because the preacher that was doing the service only spoke Spanish. Well, he kind of looked at me and then he looked back at Gil and he stood up. And he went up there and he interpreted for that Spanish preacher. And then the words of my grandson Stetson, he did awesome. And I was so proud of the fact that he did that. But I've seen all of my brothers and sisters grow, and it's an encouragement to me to continue to stretch and grow out of my comfort zone. And I just thank you for the opportunity to serve beside you and continue to do so in the future.
Thank you, Terry. I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of give you just a little bit of a rundown of what happens at CASA during the day. Just loads of smiles and love everywhere. You wake up early in the morning, you have breakfast with the kids. All of the meals we have the opportunity to go sit down with the kids and share in their meal. We get to wait in line with them. And just as soon as you walk into the dining hall, the kids are sitting at the tables already, and you can't decide where to sit because they all want you to sit right here by me, right by me. And as you go throughout the week, you're tempted to keep going back to that one child that has kind of latched onto you. Start to form some bonds, and whether you can communicate with words or not, like Terry said, you know, the smiles and the hugs, it's the same. And just the opportunity to share that with so many children is really amazing. So you get to do that at breakfast, and then we have the chance to give some of the kids a break by helping to clean up in the kitchen and the dining hall. That's some of that is their job. It's their chore that they get to do every day. And to have a little bit of outside help with that is a really amazing thing. And you get to share those smiles and the soap that smells funny and you're on your hands, and you clean the dishes with them and you form those bonds, and it's just really wonderful. While that's happening, Gil is meeting with the group leaders in his office, and he's preparing to meet with everybody right after breakfast, because one of the big things that we do is we meet after breakfast to have the work assignments. And it sounds boring. No, it's really not. It's one of the best parts of the day. We meet on the steps there in the front of the main building where we stay. And we talk about who's going to do what and what's going to happen for the whole day. And it's just a great time of visiting. And then the work starts, and you work till about lunch. And we've done all kinds of different projects. We paint, we do gardening, we pour cement, we've built fences. We've stretched our comfort zones and just our skill level as well, things that we've never done before. Gil says, "Hey, can you do this?" And whether you're a team of four or a team of 13, or if there's groups from other states there with you, that's the work that needs to be done. And so you just kind of raise your hand and you can go to it. And that's been a wonderful blessing. And you might think just working till lunch gets off easy. Well, they don't eat lunch till 2. And so you do get a full day's work in. And then you get to come share a hot, sweaty meal with the whole campus. And the kids have been working too, whether they've been at school or if they're off of school, they get to do some work during the day too. And so we get to share that next meal. After lunch, we get together and we have activities for the kids, whether it's crafts or reading stories, playing games, having a contest, having water day where we do water balloons and water guns. Just things that uplift the kids. And like Terry was saying, it's so uplifting to us too, just to get to share that time with them. Everybody is so excited, and they just love having, the kids love having that interaction. At 5 o'clock every day, they have a Devo time. It's a devotional time every single day of the week. And what happens there, they gather in the dining hall, and they'll sing songs. There'll be a time of prayer, and they always let the kids lead the prayers. They pick different ones to do the prayers. There's scriptures. There's a little bit of a lesson. If Gil is not there and nothing has been prepared, they have Bible lesson videos ready to let the kids watch for that time, because it's a time of focus for the kids and to keep feeding them the Word of God. Keep putting their minds on Jesus as they go through each day. Then we get to share another meal, of course, at supper time. And after that is another just kind of an activity time. That is a good time to go outside and just play and just spend time hanging out with the kids. We play frisbee, we fly kites, we play basketball, we play soccer, we draw with chalk on the sidewalk. It's a great time to just spend with the kids. Sometimes we do organized activities during that time, whether it's a game night, putting puzzles together, or sometimes we'll have another activity, like a game or a craft that we've brought. Sometimes they also do a movie night during that time, or a marshmallow Devo where we make s'mores out. They have a campfire area, and the kids love doing that. The kids love even an extra time of devotion where they can sing songs together and have s'mores. Of course, that's pretty popular. Get to have those bonding times. The kids love to share that singing time with you. The kids love to sing in Spanish. The kids love to sing in English. And that was an awakening thing for me. Like I like to sing in Spanish also, but I don't necessarily understand all of the words, but I enjoy it. The kids love to show you that they're learning to communicate too. It's them stretching their comfort zone, and it's them expressing something. And I wanted to give us a little bit of that feeling tonight. I have Jesus Loves Me in English and Spanish. And so would you take this opportunity to sing with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Cristo me ama, bien lo sé, su palabra es ver, que los niños son de aquel, quien es nuestro amigo fiel. Si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, la Biblia dice así. And it's a wonderful time to hear them learning new words, learning new songs, and it's such a blessing to sing with them. They actually have English and Spanish in a lot of their songbooks that they use, and the kids love to learn new songs, and so do I. It's something very special to share with them. I wanted to go back to what I said was a very important part of the day. It's when we have that meeting with Gil after breakfast, where it seems like we're just going to get our work assignments. Really, we're getting our day assignments. We're getting our life assignments, really. The first time that I went there, we had a team of just four: Terry, Tessie, myself, and my sister Jenny. And we ended up being the only group there that year. And we sat on the steps, and Gil came out, and I was kind of wondering what we were going to get to do, not really being a carpenter or anything like that myself. And Gil sat down, and we talked about the options that we have. And he also started telling us some stories, some of which he shared with us a few weeks back, of the different things that he's seen in the town of Anahuac and the different opportunities that the home has had to share, whether it be food or supplies, meals. And later that day, I realized that we had been devoted. He had taken that time to focus our minds on Jesus. I thought it was a work assignment meeting. No, it was much, much more. Our minds got to be focused on Jesus. And I thought how amazing, how beautiful, how thoughtful that was, and how smart too. He does this for all of the visiting groups. He takes that time out of the day to focus, to put our minds and our motivations and our energy towards the true source of life. That focusing our minds on Jesus makes me think of the words to a song that we've learned recently. I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus, is verse 1. And that's what we got to do. We focused our mind on Jesus. And if you think about it, that's what CASA does for those kids also. Through everything that they've had in their life, they focus the story of Christ. That's what shines out through those kids' lives. Now, verse 2 is, can't hate my neighbor with my mind on Jesus. Ooh, that one's tougher. I thought about how, wow, if we put our energy and our minds on Jesus, that we are able to put things aside. We're able to put those things down. There's no condemnation with my mind on Jesus. That's verse 3. And so my mind is drawn to John chapter 8, when the Pharisees bring the woman caught in adultery to Jesus, and he asks, who's going to throw this first stone? Whoever is without sin. And so a little bit of time goes by, and who's left? They've all gone. So they showed up to that meeting there with their rocks. And their rocks said different things. They said hate. They said adultery. They said poor. They said all of the things that they wanted to accuse her of. And Jesus said, if your stone is blank, if you don't have anything, then you go ahead and throw it. But we're all guilty. And so what we learn here, can't hate my neighbor with my mind on Jesus. There's no condemnation with my mind on Jesus. That we learn that we can put those things down. We need to learn to put some of those things down so that we can truly focus on Jesus. And that's what Gil taught me. And that's what CASA teaches the kids every single day. And their life before CASA had so many things that they could hate, so many things that they even blame themselves for. And now after CASA, they have a new life focus. And these are the things that CASA teaches me, CASA teaches our groups, and these are the things that CASA teaches the kids. And that's why the cross is at the heart of CASA. That's what the kids are focused on. That's what the kids are fed every day. And so just like the kids can have a new life after they see this love of God being shown to them, we We, in turn, get to share in their healing when we get to visit, and we can realize these same things. We can have a different life also after we have met the Master. Once we have Jesus in our life and choose to follow him, we can have him as our focus too. And I realize that's why Gil does that for the groups. And I feel blessed having had those special meetings. And I just want to encourage you tonight, as we're talking about CASA and how they serve the kids, how they reach out to others, how they see their area as a ripe mission field. I want to encourage you to find your focus. Spend some time putting your focus on Jesus, and then we need to find our mission field too. One way you can do this is you can go with us to CASA this year. We'll have the dates soon, and I would invite you to put those things aside and come focus on Jesus there with us. There are other places that you can go to find your mission field. You don't even have to go very far. If we just look around the room, we're here. We are here. And I just want to encourage you tonight, as we say thank you to all of those who have gone with us, and thank you to those who have supported us, and say thank you to Southgate for sending the teams to CASA. I know they appreciate it, and those of us that have gone, we appreciate you sending us there too. We feel like we have grown, and we look forward to going again. And I want to encourage you to go on a mission trip sometime. I would invite you to go to CASA, like I said. As we close tonight, I just want to invite you to, if there's something that you need to take out, to put down so that you can make it easier to put your mind focused on Jesus, take that step, plan a trip, wherever you're going to go, whoever you're going to talk to, I just want to encourage you to do that tonight. We're going to stand and sing a song.